You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
In a podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 177.
Season 7, episode 23.
Of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast with me, Mr. P.
And the other Mr. P.
Welcome back, guys. We hope you're well. Hope you settled in to the final term, summer term, where you can just put your feet up, rest as it just eases into summer, said no teacher ever. But we hope hope you're well. This may well be your first week back. First week back for you, Adam?
Yes.
Yeah, how's it been?
Do you know what? Believe it or not, weather aside.
Yeah.
Weather aside, it's actually been quite... It's been all right. But the weather... Right, I just want to take this moment to just address the weather at the minute.
I think we always start the podcast by addressing the weather.
I don't know.
I think we are traditionally quite British in how we start the podcast. Because
yeah.
Most weeks we sort of go, oh, loads of wet plays. It's been quite nice.
It's crazy this week though. Because I'm hearing whispers of a heat wave. I'm hearing there's another storm. And then there was unbelievable gale force winds.
Yeah, yeah.
I was driving into work first Monday back. It was classic. So I was back on Monday. It was absolutely classic hailstone.
Yeah.
We're nearly in May and it was hailstoning on my car on the drive to work. And then suddenly the sun came out and everything seemed a bit brighter. No pun intended. It just seemed, I was like, oh, I'll take this. I don't know what it is, whether it's just no wet plays, out for break, fresh air. But then suddenly, I've never had a lunchtime like, was it Tuesday? Monday or Tuesday? I think it was Monday. Never had a lunchtime like it. So with my time, normally I do the full lunchtime duty. That's my baby. The playground is my baby. But with my timetable at the minute, I'm now just doing half the duty because I'm teaching full time.
Right.
So I'm sat having my dinner and I'm looking outside. Just as I was like about to sit down and it started pouring down, so the kids were going back in and I was thinking like, no, surely not. I'd literally just walked over and it was nice, kids were playing out. I was like, I'll see you in a minute. So I sat down, I had my dinner, and then I stood up and I looked down, it looked nice. So yeah. The kids started coming back out. I said, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So I go back out and as soon as I set foot outside, it starts raining. So I was like, one of the staff members was like, right, wet play. And I was thinking, well, hold your horses. Listen, I don't want to pull the HLTA card, but the playground's my baby. I'll make the call on wet play. And I'm always, the kids, this is why I hope that the kids love me, is that I will roll the dice. It may end up in,
saturation.
Yeah, it may end up in some soggy jumpers, but I will roll the dice in that hope that it will blow
over.
The
weatherman over there.
Yeah, yeah. And
don't
anyway,
blame it on the weatherman.
So I cancelled the wet play call.
Right.
I said no.
You overrode it.
I was like, sorry, that's a negative on the wet play.
Yeah.
No headset. Sorry, guys, that's a negative on the wet play. So I go into the building and give a shout out to all the kids who have gone in. Right, everyone outside. It's only spitting.
Yeah.
Get out.
Get your coats on.
So then my deputy head comes over in a bit of a panic, going, I thought we'd called wet play. And I was like, you thought wrong. The HLTA overrode it. As soon as I was giving it the big in, did the heavens open
yeah.
or did the heavens open?
Don't
and
blame
I mean, it
all.
it was hailstone, so there was screaming.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, right, wet play. looked at the person who called wet play a couple of minutes before me. I was like, good shout.
So
then we went back in, and then what happens as soon as you settle the kids down, and this is what was annoying, right? And I'm sure all staff members will know this. We end up going in and there was only a matter of 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
And the sun comes out. Then you've got the kids sat there going, it's not even raining now. And I'm like,
yeah.
I can see that. I know that.
But and by the time we get out.
But I'm drenched. I am absolutely drenched. My work non-slip Skechers slip-ons
yeah.
were drenched. And I was like, well, no, I'm not taking you out now because it's raining. But then the kid who just comes back from lunch, why are we not allowed out? It's not even raining. Just yeah. sit yourself down, get your wet playbook, yeah?
Yeah, just keep yourself busy.
So it's just been, the weather's been gutting. Today, the weather's been nice, which was dece.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been all right being back. I had a great, you know, I touched upon it last week. I had a great 2 weeks Easter holiday. Probably one of the best kind of half-term breaks I've had. Finished off on Saturday. Yeah. With our long awaited. To think that we had a solar eclipse before yeah. we were able to see the wonderful people of Liverpool. But on Saturday, we went to the new Hot Water Comedy Club at Blackstock Market, am I right?
I think so, yeah. Nice little venue. And
lovely little venue. Obviously, still raw. Still
not quite there.
Still finding its feet.
Yeah, but been open a week.
But the two Mr. P's put on, you know, it was packed in there. I couldn't.
Yeah.
That was where the buzz hit, was when we were in the kind of control room or whatever you call it, the kind of DJ
tech
room. And it was busy. And I was like, because I had this fear of like, I think I said it to you on the drive there, like, I hope everyone who got a ticket originally is still coming.
Yeah.
Because I knew like, yeah, well, people would have got refunds. I was like, yeah, but certain people would have either just forgot or just sacked it off and just been like, oh, do you know what? It's been postponed so many times. It wasn't meant to be, but it was busy. The vibes were great. You could feel the atmosphere.
Yeah, it was. So I was very, very nervous before it, mainly because it's been like 6 months since we've done the show. And obviously when we did the 2 week stint, which worked really well because you just get into a rhythm with it. You get into a flow. And then to have that bigger gap was just panicking. Panic stations. And then obviously when we got to the venue, lovely venue, it's going to be a really nice place that. But obviously it still wasn't finished. So you had to walk through the courtyard. So to describe it, it's like, from the outside, it just looks like a warehouse. You go in and it's got like a bar, and then there's a seating area in the middle. There's all these little food places around. There's a stage with a musician on. It's like what you know, like your Freight Islands in Manchester. Yeah, a lot of these sort of day drinking, you know,
just get a bite to eat. Places.
And then the comedy clubs at the back. So we sort of meandered our way through, and even that, normally we're used to like going through the stage door.
Yes.
Yeah. DJ, whenever we do a venue, it's through the stage door. No one sees you, and then it's a big mystery.
Yeah.
When you're not a big mystery, but you know, it's kept secret.
Yeah.
So we had to meander through. So there was quite a few people who were coming to the show, seeing us there. And then no one was in the comedy club when we got in there. And then we were like, oh, we'll just go through to the green room. And there just was no green. It was just this room at the back that was like just a building site, derelict. So then, the only downside, what added to the nerves, was the fact that there was no backstage.
Well, so also, before the show, you were ready though, weren't you? You were full on ready, which normally, if you're doing a local show, you normally get ready.
As in clothes wise.
I shower and do my hair and stuff, but I like to travel in comfies, and I'm not a jeansman in the car. So I always bring my clothes in a bag, and I had my Black Panther bag.
Yeah.
It's big kid vibes, but I love it. And then we got there and I thought, where the hell am I going to get? So I had to get changed on the stage, not in front of the crowd. That would have been, you know, that happens at the
end. Then obviously did all the tech check, but then it was like, all right, there's about like 45 minutes till the show. And the
More?
Guy was,
there's about an hour?
Yeah. And the guy was like, oh, just sit back outside.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we're sort of sat and they'd cornered this little area away, but then it looked like we were just on show. So everyone who was coming in just saw us sat there just looking like
VI2 Mr. P's, wasn't it?
Yeah, just panicking. But I was nervous just because obviously, but then because it was quite an intimate venue. So it was like 500 odd people were there, but it was so packed in, it was so close the roof was dead low. So as soon as the first joke hit.
Yeah.
Which
was straight away.
Which was mine, where I was like, finally, this show's happened. you know, we thought it was going to happen in October. We thought it was going to happen in February. Finally got it happen. We finally got it made in April. It's a bit like your PPA.
Yeah, nice.
That was it then. Yeah, that was it. The night just flowed, and
you caught some real live ones with that.
Yeah, yeah, and it was class, and loved it. Absolutely loved it. So a massive thank you to everyone who came. I will apologise to the baby I elbowed in the head.
Yeah,
there was no malice, no intention. It was just a nervous wee before accidentally tapped someone with my elbow, turned round to say sorry, because we're quite busy.
Yeah.
In and out the toilet, turned round and it was just a baby.
Luckily, the other Mr. P was on hand to apologise.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd gone off and I was like, ooh. No, I'm
just
so
turn,
sorry.
You know, when you just instinctively turn and go, oh, sorry, and then
I'm
carry on.
I'm pretty sure the thousands of people listening to Two Mr. P's don't think you intentionally elbowed a baby.
Yeah, just when I'm nervous, I just act up like that. Yeah, so. So it's been a mad busy week. I've been on the road and stuff. Talk about Wet Play. Obviously, Ofsted last week.
Oh, yeah.
Wet Play then.
Ooh.
And I decided to do the break duty to let whoever was on break duty have some time. And we stayed out. It got pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way you can say, I mean, an Ofsted inspection's bad. But it you can't make it worse by keeping children in at break and lunch. Because they're just feral. There's something about kids needing fresh air. And obviously, if someone had said to me, there's certain things I think, if you'd have told me before I was a teacher, I'd have never believed you, right? We've talked about this on the podcast before. In fact, we mentioned it on the live show. Like, we are, from doing this podcast, always surprised at how booming the sex toy industry is in this country.
Yeah.
Purely because of the amount of stories you guys send in where kids bring stuff in from, you know, and we're not prudes, you know, but we are, I'd say, astounded at the volume of stories we get sent, right? Yep. That's one. The other one is someone has said, like, the weather can play such a huge...
Pivotal
part in how your children behave. Like, literally, Wet Play is a nightmare. When it's windy, they're unbelievable.
Yeah, crazy times.
Unbelievable. Obviously, when it gets too hot, they're unbearable.
A bit too hot.
Yeah, because they just all ask you the same questions over and over and over.
When it's freezing, can I wear gloves in class or mittens? Well, how are you supposed to write?
Yeah, exactly. They just... so that's another... you know, there'll be something in that.
What's your ideal? What's your, like, dream primary school day weather?
What, today? This
just
day?
Like,
well,
cool.
we've had parents evening today, and like last half an hour, they can tell me you've just had Ofsted without telling me you just had Ofsted. Her teacher's like, right, teachers, we'll give you half an hour. Anyone not doing a parents evening, all the TAs, obviously me, because I'm not doing a parents evening, get the kids out on the field. Wasn't too hot, not cold enough for your coat, dry.
Dream.
Just, and the kids are just all running about.
Dream stuff.
Absolute dream stuff. I didn't tell you this one last week, so obviously we recorded the podcast before I got the full breakdown of the whole Ofsted experience.
The report. And
a massive thank you to everyone who gave the news agents a listen, and the feedback from that was really good. But I said last week, didn't I, that I was recording that as we were getting the feedback about the Ofsted. I can't report on what we did and how we did, but I'm not going to tell you anyway because it's a crap system and I don't believe in it anyway. So you won't be seeing any banners outside my school. But on the first day, Ofsted sort of mentioned about British values, right? Mm-hmm. So we knew at some point they were going to ask some of the kids about British values. So the year five team decided to just do a little recap. In the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little recap. Just a little revisit. Just a little revisit.
What do you call it? Do you call it the start of a task?
Morning settler. Little settler in the morning.
You don't call it a settler. That sounds like all the kids are having a little pint.
Well, British values. British values. So teachers just, you know, pretty much protected characteristics, all that sort of stuff. And then at some point during the day, one of the inspectors spoke to some of the children and sort of said, just wanted to ask you a couple of questions on British values. And the one child turned around and went, no way! We've just been learning about that in class! Right? To which he just sort of like, you know that Naked Gun skit where everyone just like face palms?
Yeah,
it's like that throughout the whole school. But no, to be fair, it was the kids were really good with it. And yeah, so.
Well, I, just before we get into the mix of the ep, first story for you. So this is one I posted on all my socials, was yesterday when I was sat having my dinner, I felt just a tiny draft, a tiny little bit of air.
Yeah.
At the bottom of my pants, right? So I'm talking right in the gooch area, bottom of the zip, round to the crack. There was a tiny, and I mean millimetres, of like a little tear in my pants. Now, I've in my trousers, should I say. Oh, my days. The controversy of me calling my trousers pants. It's a northern thing.
It's like, a northern thing.
I don't know why people are so bothered. Like, shut up. I'm talking about my trousers.
Well, that's the internet, though, for you, isn't it? So, I'll come back to it.
So, anyway, I felt this little hole, tiny. You wouldn't be able to see it. Not you. I had pink boxers on as well because it was laundry day or whatever. I didn't have many fresh boxers, so I had an old pair, which were new. They weren't
warm. Laundry day.
Laundry day. No, but, you know, basically, I was too lazy to look for a pair, so I just had a pair of Kims, pair. Yeah. So it was pink Lonsdales, right?
Oh, my God.
They were pink Lonsdale boxers.
As in, they were originally white and you've mixed them in the wash?
No. These were
so you've actually chosen.
Oh, yeah, genuine, right, okay, yeah. Okay. I bought two, I think it was two for £5 at Sports Direct years ago. Two pairs of pinks, two pairs of lime greens. Wow. So I had a pair of pinks on. And anyway, so
like
I felt
a twister lolly.
I felt this little hole and I was a bit like, oh, got to be careful there. I've had previous with ripping my pants.
Yeah.
So anyway, I go on about the day, all okay, no issue. And then I get in my car at the end of the day and I take a step in and it is the biggest like...
rip.
And I was like, oh my God. And I'm talking bottom of the zip, right round to, I'd say, 3/4 of my ass. And it was all ripped wide open.
So 3/4 of Adam's ass.
Yeah,
is-
yeah.
1.5 of normal people's ass. Just to
we're
give
not,
you...
Yeah. We're not equivalent fractions now, brother.
We're mixed numbers of normal people with 3/4 of Adam's ass.
So, anyway, so the worst thing was I had to pick Isla up from a childminder's.
Right.
So I literally got out, pulled my top down as far as I could and held it together as I stood there. The childminder must have been like... why he stood so weird? Because I was just like, legs together, like looked like I was desperate for the toilet.
Yeah.
But just didn't want anyone to see these camel nuts. Anyway, the reason why I bring it up is, like I said, if you follow me on the socials, you'll know what happened. But someone commented on the post, right?
Yeah.
With a WhatsApp message from their colleague, right?
Okay.
Basically, someone said, oh, this is like what happened to this person the other day.
Yeah.
And then they posted this. Now, I felt a lot better about this because no children were near me, wasn't in school, but listen to this. So if your week hasn't got off to a dreary start, I hope you will feel better after hearing this. I wore a new beautiful all-in-one to work today. All was fine for the first 2 hours. As my second lesson started at 11:30 a.m., I went to the door to welcome my students. It was while standing still, literally doing nothing, that the zip blew and revealed my bra and pants to all.
Oh, dear.
I had to do a temporary fix while my colleague drove me over a change of clothes.
What was she wearing?
It was an all-in-one.
Right, okay. Brave choice.
But I mean, to be stood there
with your
welcoming your class in, probably doing some silly handshakes, then suddenly, whabang, zip goes.
That's just reminding me of something I've just seen from walking out of the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Walked past the room, and there was an old guy on his bed. I just popped my head in. To the room, you know, just because the door was open, so just like look,
yeah.
And this guy had his like you know, like just, and he was wearing a hotel gown, just nothing else.
Hotel gown.
Just looked into this room and just saw a pair of old bollocks.
Did you see your old balls? Yeah,
proper old. You know, he just sort of looking up. Jesus!
Wow!
Wow!
Owen Wilson. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Oh God.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
It's the thread of the week.
Just because I take it from Reddit, it doesn't mean I cheat.
It's the thread of the week.
It's not plagiarism, because I referenced my source.
Right, okay, let's get into this week's thread of the week. I think there's quite a bit in this one. What is the most successful lie in history? Now, we've got some people, this is from Reddit, I think it is. So these are all sort of general great
general
lies.
Yeah.
But then it got me thinking, what do you think is the greatest lie we tell as teachers?
That this is your own time you're wasting.
I thought that. That or the amount of times go like, you need to learn this, you're going to need it later in life. That's got to be up there, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Just, yeah. We tell loads of lies, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, you tell lies to your own kids as well.
Oh, as a parent, that was the next thing I was going to say. As a parent, you tell lies all the time.
Because I made a video last night about, obviously, with the weather changing. So we're recording this now at 8:10. It's still light outside. But I spoke to three different people who have got kids, I think, age 3, age 4. And then obviously I've got a 5 and a 7-year-old, soon to be 8, my little girl. And every time, so bedtime's roughly 7:30, 8.
Yeah.
And I said, every day this week I've gone, right, Isla, time for bed. And she goes, no. And I go, excuse me? And she's like, it's not dark yet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. No. And I have to go like, Alexa, what's the time? And then it's like, oh, the time is da-da-da. And then I'm just like, see? And she's like, yeah, but it's not dark. And then you get into a full-blown argument then.
Oh, no.
And then I turn into like Jeremy Kyle. It's bedtime, you pillock!
What's so weird, though, is just how different your attitude towards bedtime is as an adult to a child.
Oh, the
like, if someone turned around to me now and go, it's bedtime, I'd be like, yes, it is.
Oh, well, I know I spoke about that on a pod.
It's still light, don't care.
I spoke about that on a pod, didn't I, recently, where it's like, as a kid, you want to stay up as late as possible and you're devastated when you have to go to bed. As an adult, you want to go to bed as early as possible and you're devastated when you stay up late.
Yeah, there must be, what other things do you want to do as a kid that you hate doing as an adult?
Work, earn money.
Yeah.
Like that, I remember.
I've had that conversation with my kids recently about schools, your best time. Although, I will argue that I think school now probably isn't as good as school when we were at school. You know, just like the curriculums, just everything's like the whole mobile phone thing as a teenager is just an absolute nightmare. I'm so glad we grew up without social media.
Oh my god, I know. Yeah.
It'd be so any other lies we tell as parents or
tell lies
teachers?
As parents,
you know, things we
well
say.
I'll tell you, this one came like, so when me and Kim, obviously when Isla was growing up, whenever we had some food that we didn't want Isla to have because either we just wanted it or we didn't want her to have it, we'd always say, oh, you can't have that, there's nuts in. Right and it could have been anything. Just a Dairy Milk caramel. But, oh, no, Isla, you can't have that. It's got nuts in. So Isla's grown up. Now, I hope she hasn't told anyone she's got a nut allergy. the other day, she got a Cornetto out of the freezer. And she opened this Cornetto and she was just like, Daddy. And I was like, what? And she was like, are they nuts? And I was like, yeah, but they're not real nuts. So I was like, you're all right eating that. but she still believed. But I don't know if I ever said this, so... So she doesn't think she's got a nut allergy because every time we go to like a restaurant or whatever, they come over and they go, any allergies?
Yeah.
Have I said this before?
No.
So we were at a restaurant and a guy came over and went, any allergies, guys? And Isla just went, my dad's allergic to cats. Which is just so innocent.
Most successful lie in history. I acknowledge that I have read and agree to the above terms and conditions.
Oh, yeah. You
have
never
you
read
ever
the small print.
Read the terms and conditions of anything?
No.
But this should be a stark warning because something's just happened to that I've just found out that has just blown my mind. So, Claire's nan, obviously isn't very well at the minute. She has got dementia. She's at a point now where she's struggling to live on her own. So the plan is to sell her house so that she can then move closer to Claire's mum, or move in with Claire's mum and brothers. And years ago in the 90s, she took a loan out, right? But we just knew it. She took a loan out. And anyway, it turns out to be this SAM loan, which is, what's it called now? Self-appreciation mortgage. And basically, you borrow money and then the bank take back a share of the profit of your house. So whatever your house is valued at when you take up this loan, whatever you sell it out at, the profit basically goes to the bank. So you literally make nothing on your house. And I cannot get my head around how anyone could possibly agree to that, knowing the scale of... So basically, Claire's nan's house has gone up for like 300 grand, I think, 300. Guess how much? She took the loan out for 15 grand.
And the house at that point, though, would have been worth, what, 70?
The house would have, yeah, possibly. I don't know what that. But if they sell it for 300 grand, you know how much Barclays, you absolute, you hate freaking banking. 200 grand. 200 grand they want to take. It's an absolute, I feel like this is like on a scale of, it's a scandal. It's an absolute scandal. There's no way you can get away with that. A 15 grand loan. And then, so we've been reading up about it, and it's like people can't sell the house, can't move out. They've just lost all their life savings because everything goes into your house and you've not realized, or it's been missold to you. I mean, there's a couple of claims going in by other people, and by all means, by the way, anyone listening to this that knows anyone about anything about it, or any solicitors or anything that might be able to give us some advice, please do get in touch. But that is just—it's unbelievable.
I don't want to sound horrible, but the person who got that deal through at Barclays is going to be cha-ching.
Oh my god!
What is it called when they get?
A bonus, Brucey bonus.
No, it's not. Commish.
Oh God,
commission.
It's scandalous. But the whole point was it was only available to pick. So Claire's nan would have been in like 70s when she agreed to it, and it's purely something to take advantage of older, vulnerable people.
Yeah, 100%.
It's an absolute scandal. So no doubt ITV will be making a drama about it. If they need a leading actor, I'm here. Just to try and pay back the house.
Yeah, yeah. Is that Happy Gilmore? I wish we could play the Barclays for the nan's house.
Anyone for another tour to pay for Claire's nan's house?
I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast. You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
Making a second one, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Did you know? Well, you're probably going to guess this now. Do you know who the biggest, highest earning actor
is? Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Have we talked about this?
No.
So you wouldn't think that. So there was a list of 10 top earning actors, actresses. Adam Sandler, number one.
Yeah, but he's smashed it.
And do you know why it is? Do you know what it is? This is interesting. You'll like this. So the Netflix deal, but do you know why he got such a big Netflix deal?
Because he's got his own company, that Happy Madison.
No, no. So basically, our generation loved Adam Sandler films. Your Happy Gilmores, your Billy Madisons, your Waterboys. And we are now parents.
Yeah.
And the sort of the go-to films. Once you get past the Disney stage and you're looking for,
closer to the bone, like 12A.
Yeah, a funny film that isn't too rude language-wise. Yeah, yeah. You go straight to
Big Daddy with that.
Yeah, yeah. So a bit like the Gladiators thing, where it's like it's bringing together two generations of parents who obviously loved Adam Sandler films and are now watching the new Adam Sandler films with their kids. Mm. And that's why he's the biggest paid actor on Netflix.
Do you know what, though? He is a top, top guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everything you don't hear you need very, about yeah, yeah.
The classic story, which I actually saw a clip of on, I can't remember who's, but I think it was Adam Sandler and Brad Pitt, I think, really random having a conversation.
Oh, and, I've seen this, yeah.
So basically, at acting school or drama school, a teacher said to Adam Sandler, "You're not going to make it, mate. You're not good enough."
Yeah.
And Adam Sandler kind of took it on the chin and thought, right, I'm going to work harder. Started, you know, got on Saturday Night Live, started smashing it. And then when he was out with all his mates at like the peak of his fame, he saw that teacher. Now, I'm telling you, 9 out of 10, and I would probably be one of the 9,
yeah,
would go up to that teacher and be like, what now? Like, look what I've done. Like, I'm number one at the box office. I've earned this. I've done that. I probably wouldn't be like that much for gimp, but you would be a bit like, you told me I couldn't make it. Adam Sandler went over, shook his hand and bought him a drink.
Yeah.
Like, that's solid, that.
I have this theory. So, did any teacher ever say that to you? Because,
oh God.
Well, maybe actually, yeah.
I
never had a teacher that turned around to me and said, you'll never make it. You'll never be good enough. You'll never. And as a teacher, I'll tell you this for a fact. I've never said that to a child.
No.
But if you speak to any rapper, they will tell you that every teacher they ever had just used to tell them that they were nothing.
Well,
I'm not going to lie. I think they're stretching the truth. Oh, of all the things rappers talk about and boast about, I think this idea that all their teachers said they'd never amount to anything, you know.
No teacher or school staff will ever say that, even to the most vile of like children who potentially are just like, you know, bullies.
That's
or
what the staff room's for.
But no, there's no chance. And the funny thing is, my first job of working in school was in the area where H is from.
Oh yeah,
the rapper. And I just think that if he's probably of the age that if he'd have gone to the school that I was working at, he could have been on his singles now. Like, yo, Mr. P didn't pick me for the football team. He told me I was no good. No H, you were no good. I didn't pick you, but I didn't tell you you were bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't tell you were bad. Even though, you know, H could be.
What do you say to a child who thinks he should have been picked?
You know what I do? And this is genuine. I actually had this because I've got like last footy tournaments coming up. What I try and do is I try and arrange as many games and friendlies and tournaments as possible. And I try and give
everyone a go.
Every child who wants to play footy, I want to try and give them a go. Now, obviously, you have your main team that when it's the real big tourneys, you might take them. But then others, I make them feel like part of it. I give them the same kit, the same team sheets, the same letters. Make them feel really up for it. And then hopefully by the end, the only issue with that is, so I took like 18 kids who have never played football for a team ever to a tournament. And we played, we got beat. But they were happy and we did a friendly at the end and it was brilliant. But then when it came to then the next tournament where I had to pick like the A team, I don't like using that. I prefer the Lions and the Tigers instead of A and B. When it comes to picking the Lions, you've then got
How did the Zebras get on?
All of these children who were like, can't wait for you to put up the team. Can't wait for you to put up the team. And I'm thinking, I always say like, yeah, but remember you went to that tournament, and then they go, yeah, but doesn't that mean I'm on the football team now? I'm like,
Not quite. Anyway, back to lies we have to tell.
Yeah. You'll be on the next one.
Yeah. Every single customer service line, we are expecting higher than normal call volume. Your call is very important to us.
Not important. Not important. Just ask Barclays.
Yeah. If you
too soon.
If you tell the truth, you won't be in trouble.
Oh, that's a go-to, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is an absolute go-to.
Yeah.
What I normally say, my phrase here, whenever I'm talking something like that, I always go, it's kind of a bit of like Taken. I'm a bit of a Liam Neeson when it comes to behaviour management. I'll say, if you tell me no, you know, there will be repercussions, but it won't be that bad.
Yeah.
But if you lie and you don't tell me the truth, it's going to be real bad. And then they're just like, I did it. And it's just like, wrong answer.
We've got this kid at school who won't ever own up to doing any wrong. You know, like always has an excuse.
Oh God, yeah.
And the funniest one the other day was he He called someone a wanker, right?
Right.
And then when the teacher
said... Let me guess, banker.
No, no, he just went, no, no, I didn't call it him. I didn't say it. I don't even know what that word means. I just made a noise and that came out.
That's a good lie, that. That's a good lie, that.
He's mastered it and anything, like, and he gets in trouble quite, like, you know, he's... He doesn't always make the right choices,
yeah.
But he's always got an excuse. And he's always like, you know, like you're like, oh,
wow.
Why? He's like that.
Wow.
Like when you catch him and he's like, I didn't do anything. So I've literally seen you just do that.
I just prefer.
No, I think you need to go to Specsavers.
I don't mind. Listen, I've said this before. I don't mind if someone doesn't make the right choices all the time. Like, I was like that. But the problem is, just own up to it. Like, if you threw a pencil across the class and then I look at you and I go, did you just throw that pencil? I have so much more respect for you if you go, yeah, sorry. And I go, right, well, just don't do it again.
Don't do it again.
If they go, no, I was like...
I was stretching my arm and I just dropped it.
I mean, I've told you before where I literally saw a kid boo another year group's football over the fence. Saw him do it. He lined the ball up, ran up and levered it over the fence. And I went over to this boy and I went, why did you just kick their ball over the fence? And no word of a lie, he looked me dead in the eye and he went, I was walking and the ball hit my foot.
Yeah.
I went, I looked and I was going, it was that class of, I was born yesterday. I've got mug written on my head.
What about this one? During World War II, the British put fake documents on a corpse and dropped the body in the waters to be found by the Nazi party. It derailed an attack that never happened.
Yeah, that's a film.
Here's the best part. The plans for D-Day were found in a similar manner, the actual plans, but they were ignored because the Nazis' leaders thought it was just another ruse.
That's a film, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
What about this one? Yes, I am 18 plus years old.
Oh, like a lie, like if you're 16.
Yeah, yeah.
Never got asked that.
One of the most impressive ones was when Great Britain convinced everyone during World War II that carrots were the reason why their vision was great, when it was really the recently discovered airborne interception radar technologies. I still know people that are convinced eating carrots as kids will ensure 20/20 vision for life.
I was going to say, can you see in the dark?
That
when
was
you eat
it,
carrots,
yeah. The customer is always right. The customer is not always right. Sometimes the customer is a twat. It says there. Again, not me saying that. That's what. Just get good marks in high school. Once you go to a top tier college, your life will be practically set and sorted. Yeah. There are hot singles in my area.
Yeah. You have won an iPad.
You are not beautiful, but you could be with this product. God wants you to give money to the church. If you work hard, you'll be rich. Trickle down economics. And finally, we don't know the most successful lie because it's a lie we don't know of yet. Oh, interesting. Right, are you ready for this week's dilemma?
Oh, am I?
Right, okay.
Help me, I have a dilemma. It's causing more pain than a vinegar enema. Help me, please, I need you to. Mr. P, some help from you, please.
So, I have been teaching for 15 years and been in my current school for 7 years. My issue is that, as a man, and a particularly as a big guy, 6'5", 22 stone, bodybuilding, occasional rugby player, working in a school... Yeah, he's
full of himself, isn't he?
Nowadays, I'm always placed in year 5 or 6 with the most difficult and unruly kids. I love my school, which is why I've stayed so long, but I've spent the last 4 years dealing with fights, rude kids and moody preteen girls in a school that also has many classes with much calmer, sweeter children. I'm tired of listening to year 1-2 teachers talking in the staff room about how, when they returned to work after illness, they were given cards or presents and how fun their Easter egg hunt was. Meanwhile, I spend the first 10 minutes of my lessons dealing with the fallout of playtime fights and struggle to get through the whole lesson at times because I'm policing kids messing about. There's no time for unscheduled fun in my class. Give them an inch and they'll take 3 miles. I hate being that style of strict teacher, but with my class, it's the only thing that works. My head has tentatively admitted that my physical appearance plays a role in her allocating who I teach and tries to butter me up, saying it's because my behaviour strategies are so good and because those kids respect me so much. The thing is, I trained as an EYFS and Key Stage 1 teacher, and I love that group, at that age group. The dilemma is, given that next academic year, there is a new cohort of tricky kids with difficult parents about to move into year 5, and given that I've already requested to my head that I want to teach year 2 next year, do I hand my resignation in if I don't get what I want? Currently, I will be the only man working in my school next year, as the other two guys are leaving or retiring at the end of the summer term, unless they recruit another guy, and the writing is on the wall. Their attitude seems to be, if there's a difficult year group, one class will be given to me to whip them into shape, and the other to whoever picks the short straw. What should I do?
Ooh, good dilemma. Good dilemma.
That is a good dilemma.
It's not for him, but good dilemma for us.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say that I hate that. I hate that sort of stereotyping that, like, if you're a bloke, you're better at discipline. Don't believe it. No. I am by far way off the most strict, or like I'm awful at it. I'm awful. It's not my style. So I don't understand why there's this sort of unwritten rule about being a man, a bigger man. I mean, I'm 6'2", 19 stone. Not a bodybuilder and ex rugby player. Why? And
you're not 6'2".
I'm 6'2".
You're not 6'2".
I am 6'2".
And you're not 19 stone either.
I am. No, no, I'm not that. You're 19 stone, aren't you?
Excuse me. 18 and a half.
All right. So, I'm about 17. But I am 182 centimetres, 6'2". But anyway, I feel his pain because I think as a male teacher, don't get me wrong, there are advantages. There are definite, you know, there are advantages of being a male primary school teacher. But I also think there is that sort of assumption that you can be this disciplinarian. I don't think it's on. And actually, I think if they, my view, I'll pass it over to you. If they put this guy in at year 1, year 2, and he works his magic because he sounds like a fantastic teacher, by the time those kids get to year 5 and 6, they're not going to be in Hamford.
No issue, yeah.
So that's my view, because it's what I always say about EYFS. We talked about in the live show. If you didn't make it to the live tour, show and tell tour, go and watch it online. You can get it streamed online, tomspspodcast.com. I do a whole bit on how EYFS are just absolute heroes because they lay the foundations. Mm. I'm seeing it now with my year 3. They were the year group that were in the lockdown during EYFS. It shows. Every school I visit, say the same thing. So stick him in EYFS. He'll do his thing. Those kids will be right all the way
through. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of points. One, I would say if you are desperate to be a Key Stage 1 member of staff and your school are not allowing that, then leave. Go somewhere else, because I'm sure you would be valued in EYFS.
Oh, and there'll be so many schools that would cry out for a male EYFS Key Stage 1.
Secondly, if your appearance and your stature and your size are proving a problem, then cut the gains. Stop going to the gym. Let yourself go. Because I'm 6'1", 19 stone, ex-rugby player. And I'm all over the shop.
Yeah.
So
you're seen as a disciplinarian in your school, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm one of the behaviour leads in my school. I don't like the term disciplinarian, because at the end of the day, really, in today's world, what discipline are you allowed to have?
There are no consequences.
But I would, I would like to think that I am, you know that, do you know that saying, like, I'm the perfect, what film is it where it's like, I'm the perfect combination of sexy and cute? Right. Now, I'm not describing myself as that, but I'm going to say I'm the perfect combination of discipline and fun.
Delusion.
Of discipline and fun. What is that film? Perfect combination of sexy and cute. Right. I'm going to have a look. But I think I'm the perfect combination of discipline and fun. Right. One second. Perfect. Oh, what is it? Perfect. It's a dirty little rom-com, I swear. Oh, people know this.
It's not even ringing a bell with me. Anyway, right. Eight. So, yeah, that's
crazy, stupid love.
With
you are the Ryan perfect Gosling. Combination of sexy and cute. I think I'm the perfect combination of discipline and fun. Because I think if you behave for me, I will be your favourite because I am funny. I am hilarious.
I'm very much of the line of like, I'm trying to do something nice with you.
Oh, I know you do that, but yeah. that's only got a short.
If you want to do a blocket, if you want to do a blocket at the end of the lesson, you need to get on with your work. It's on you that. I can't let you do a block. I can't if you're not going to behave.
I have to be honest.
Why will you not behave?
You sound like you're begging.
Please behave.
I actually said today, I'm not going to lie to you guys, I'm out of headaches. That was my line today. I'm out of headache tablets. And the reason I'm out of headache tablets is because the chat in here is becoming of a volume level that I am not a fan of.
Yeah.
And then it was silent. You could hear a pin drop. It was great.
So hopefully so you can either take my advice of suggesting you work in EYFS. So if you do your magic, those kids are set for the rest of the primary school time. Or you can take Adam's advice of just letting yourself go. So that you're not no longer seen as a brute force in your school.
You look like you've got a story. It's probably not as good as Nana Maury's, but tell me your story anyway. I hope it's a hit. If it's not good, then I'ma go rebiff and chip. I hope the people's there too.
Got a really quick story here. Someone messaged me, a Katie messaged me. This is brilliant. The Parents Association came into school today to sell raffle tickets for £2. A 10-year-old girl in my class asked if she could tap as she had no cash. Contactless. Can I tap? No. I mean, you talk about those money growing trees.
Yeah.
No way she had Apple Pay or a card. But she asked, could she tap? What was she tapping with?
Some rather easy on the eye. So what we're going to do is we're going to share some stories that people in our Liverpool show submitted that we didn't get round to saying in the show. Okay. So some rather easy on the eye firemen were doing a walk around one evening to assess our fire safety strategies and give us a few suggestions.
Right. So can I just pause you there? Sorry. What is it with firemen?
What do you mean?
I get this feeling from females I've worked with over the years. Any sort of like chat about, the firemen are coming in, and fangirling.
Yeah.
And then I'm a bit like, well, you've got this on the 9 to 5.
You've got this 6'1".
You got a 6'1", 19 stone.
Yeah.
Ex-rugby player. No, but it's just always... But the funny... Let me give you a funny story about the firemen. It was like... Basically, before I worked there, supposedly these firemen came in to do this thing with EYFS, and everyone was swooning over these firemen. Is that the right word, swooning?
Yeah, yeah.
They were all going, oh, these firemen are so fit. Oh, they're so great. They picked me as the person to put the jacket on and all this. Yeah. The year I got there, I got a bit jealous. I was a bit like, well, you've got this now, so relax. But the firemen were coming in. All these teachers were going, oh, I hope it's the same ones as last year. They rocked up, right? It was like Phil Mitchell. I was like,
what?
Yeah, I was like, get out my pub. Yeah. Get out my school.
Right, so some rather easy on the eye firemen. We're doing a walk around school one evening to assess our fire safety strategies and give us a few suggestions. One of them pointed out that the children's work, which was hanging from the ceiling, should be kept to a minimum because at night, if it moved in a draft, it could trigger the fire alarm to the station. I looked the good-looking fireman in the eye and just blurted out without thinking, oh, that's a shame, because we're really into dangly bits at this school. My key stage leader's eyes over his shoulders just went really wide, and then we all laughed.
I mean, why would you say that?
I mean, it's not even something that's...
It's not even like a simple slip of the tongue. That feels like it was meant. Do you know what I mean? Just like,
yeah.
I tell you what, I'd love to see your hose, the one on your fire engine, that is. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Right, I'm a math teacher in Longsight. Whilst teaching my Year 11 class this week, a student said, "Miss, do you know when you're solving this? Oh, wait, don't worry, found my mistake. I'm just a knobhead." The student continued working through the task like nothing had happened, along with the pupils around him not even flinching. I just looked up and stared in disbelief. A few moments passed when he just seemed to say it again and directly at me, calling himself a knobhead. So, I mean, obviously it's a swear word.
Yeah.
But there's no malice. He's not directing it anywhere but himself.
He's self-deprecating.
Yeah. To put in context, this student is aiming for a grade 8-9 in maths. So that's your top tier. Who loves to go into teacher mode to help his peers. And when he comes out with weird / strange thoughts. So at this point, I laughed and said his name. He was shocked to hear his name being called out. Another student near him asked me what it meant and was genuinely confused. I went on to explain what it was and they apologised and said they wouldn't say it again. This 16-year-old student genuinely thought he was talking about a door handle.
No.
Yeah.
No. I believe it though. Sometimes it's so ditzy.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Right. Many years ago, in a
Do you know when he said the teacher explained it? Teacher just go like, "So you're calling yourself? You're basically saying that you've got a penis on your face. You know, you got a penis on your head, lad." And he's just like, "What?" I just thought he was a door handle, man.
Many years ago in a reception class, we were making gingerbread men. One little boy who had one-to-one support had wet himself several times during the morning and had used all his spare clothes. Around 2 o'clock, he had another accident, and while this one-to-one was rummaging in a cupboard to find some spare clothes, he was stood in the classroom with his vest covering his privates. All of a sudden, he had an explosive, in capital letters, diarrhea. So you know that's a big one.
I mean, the word explosive makes it sound, you know, like a really low-budget Oppenheimer.
I always think of that song.
Oppenheimer.
I just always think of that Dr. Dre song. Explosives. Oh. We grabbed a blanket and stood him on it. He was then cleaned up and sent home. I put the last batch of gingerbread men in the portable oven. After school, the teacher said we need a coffee, so we went to the staff room. A few minutes later, my daughter, who was a pupil, burst into the staff room shouting, "The class is on fire!" Both the teacher and I ran, coffee in hand, to the classroom. Well, there was a lid on. Where there was a thick black smoke billowing out.
Wait, were the kids still in the class?
No.
After school.
There was thick black smoke billowing out from the small oven, and my very good friend and colleague running around like a headless chicken shouting, "It's on fire! What shall we do?" I shouted, "Have you turned the mains off?" She replied, "No, I don't know what to do." I turned the mains off and she opened the doors and windows to disperse the smoke. We then fell about laughing at these charcoal-looking gingerbread men. The next day, there were 10 out of 30 children in class. There were 10 out of the 30 children in class as all the others were off with upset tummies.
Do you know what made me laugh?
The gingerbread or the explosive diarrhea.
The co-workers, where it's like, "Have you turned it off on the mains?" And then the one who was just like, "I don't know what to do." Like, that's just not what you want in that situation, is it?
Fight or flight.
You want just a cool, calm customer.
Yeah. Right, couple more stories then. So, on my second date with a guy, he came to my house for a takeaway and a movie night. Clearly a terrible second date. Anyway, after a nice night of chatting, he decided to stay. 5 minutes into being in my room, he began to cry in my bed about his ex-girlfriend. The most awkward thing to happen. I swiftly got him out of the house and in the car and drove him home. Never to see him again, thankfully. That was quite off topic.
Bit of a random.
It was just someone from our show shared it. A teacher friend of a friend took a year two class to see a classical ballet company's children's production of Cinderella at a local theatre. Bloody hell, that was a long sentence to say. A teacher friend of a friend took a year two class to see a classical ballet company's children's production of Cinderella at a local theatre as enrichment for their traditional tales project. Of course, all dancers were in classical ballet costumes. There was a very obvious index finger point from one little girl as she asked very loudly, What's that in the prince's tights?
Oh.
Quick reply from another little girl. Well, do you not know? I do. It's for the lady dancer to stand on.
Oh, that's what we call a door handle where I'm from.
No better answer, really. I know. Early years TA here. Nursery boy trips and falls on top of a toy box. Landing on the corner of the box, he stands up holding between his legs with tears in his eyes. Daft question, I know, but I ask him, oh dear, where have you hurt? Holding his breath and welling up, he explains. This is an early years kid. This is a 5-year-old, right? So he's landed on the corner of the box, holding his legs with tears in his eyes. Daft question, but I asked, oh dear, where have you hurt? Holding his breath and welling up, he exhaled, me bollocks.
Yes. You know, I was trying to think in my head, what's he going to say here? That's tenable. He's done it.
Ah, oh, me bollocks.
My bollocks.
Inset day, and TAs were all asked to go and read through Keeping Children Safe in Education, the document, if you didn't know, which we should all know. Because yeah. I'll give you this tip. Ofsted wanted you to know all about that Keeping Children Safe in Education document. We decided to put the document up on the smart board and read together rather than individually. This ended up with lots of conversations about children being safe in school, including e-safety and the stuff children know these days is scary. One of our, shall I say, mature TAs then admitted she never knew what jizz was until a few years ago. We all fell laughing as she continued to say she thought it meant dribble/lobber. She said she plays poker with her husband and his friends and would always say, oh, I bet you're jizzing over those cards. What a no. Oh, God. Same
I love that. The husband and the mates, the wife's there, and they're all just sat around shooting the breeze, saying that. She's just like...
No, she says it.
Oh, she says
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh,
she said she plays poker with her husband and his friends, and she would always say, oh, I bet you're jizzing over those cards.
I thought that's where she first heard it, sorry.
Same TA would be going up the stairs in school... One banister being wooden and the other side painted yellow, shouting to the children, up the brown and down the yellow. Oh, God, right. I was teaching reception many, many years ago at a time when duffel coats were on trend. Duffel coats?
I think I had a duffel coat.
No, is it not ones with the weird sort of like claspy peg type?
Ah, right.
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I'd always have the children wrapped up, suited and booted in coats, hats, etc. on winter days, ready to go home, and we'd spend a few minutes on the carpet singing songs with a guitar or having a quick story. Miss, such a person, has been sick in my hood. He had. It had landed perfectly without a drop anywhere else other than in the little girl's hood who was sitting immediately in front of him. That was a great one to tackle with a mum after we tried our best to decontaminate it without ruining a pure new wool coat. I bet it ended up in the bin because it was dry clean only. So I imagine that wouldn't neutralise the aroma very well.
Ooh. I've got just to cut in the stories there. It's something that we discussed after the show while we were sat round shooting the breeze.
Yeah.
This is a question for everyone listening. So if you work in a school, I want to know if you have staff members that still play a musical instrument.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had a conversation, our head teacher, Mr. Tyrrell.
Yeah.
And we had a teacher called Miss Davis and yeah. Mrs. Graham. Mrs. Graham could do the piano. Mrs. Davis was great on the piano. And Mr. Tyrrell was an absolute dynamo on the old guitar, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
And every assembly, they'd just be belting out banger after banger. Now, obviously, with screens and YouTube and this and that and the other, I want to know, so hopefully this will get clipped up, is there any authentic guitar acoustic
there must be
bangers.
Some, there must be some. I mean, what we do, so we, when we do our Advent assemblies, we do a couple of songs where students will play the piano.
Not the same. I'm talking adults. I'm talking knowledge. I'm talking people who... Because the last time I ever saw it was a supply teacher years ago in the school I'm at came in and with a guitar, and I'd only ever heard her play it once, and she was decent, to be fair, on the guitar.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's old school. But we spoke about it. It felt like when we were younger, so you're going back 20-odd years.
Yeah.
In every primary school, there was someone who... I mean, was it a must? Was it like a thing that was a difference in a job? You know, like, oh, you know...
This would it help was, on the old CV?
This
what I mean, yeah,
this person was quite good in their job, but actually this person plays a hell of a guitar.
Yeah, maybe. There must be... I reckon there must be some. I bet the few and far between... And I bet they were needed more in the older days.
I'm telling you
now. I bet there was, whereas now, because you've just got access, you can just like whack an iPad.
If I could play the
guitar.
Or
even AI. AI can make music.
Oh, here we go.
No, it can.
There's a way back. There's always a way back.
I've shared a couple of websites. Anyone interested, try app.suno.ai. You literally, in fact, I could do one now. Right, give me a topic, app.suno. Right, I'll tell you what, we'll get it right now to make a song about the two Mr. P's in a podcast in the style of what?
Mysterious Girl. No.
No, no, you got to give it like a genre. You can't...
Oh, in the style... Should we go like... No, in the style of
early
country.
2000s.
Oh, early
pop.
R&B.
Punk pop, like Blink-182.
Oh, like Blink-182, okay.
Punk pop boy band. Would you call them a boy band?
No, punk pop.
Just punk pop band. Band. Right, create. Right,
does it play the lyrics? Sing the lyrics to you?
Yeah.
Right, go on then.
It might take a second. So you carry on.
What was I saying?
You were saying about music.
No, if I could play the guitar, if I could, I would bang that out in assembly on the regs.
All the time.
Because imagine
all
someone was making noises.
The time.
Imagine someone was making noises or talking whilst you were playing the guitar. Imagine the slap.
On the, yeah.
On the, what they called? Strings.
Yeah.
Imagine the slap on the strings.
This is how bad we are at music.
Yeah.
Slap on the...
Someone will be like, what does he not play? When you slap on the thingy with jigs.
Right, you ready?
Yeah.
This is the two Mr. P's.
The two Mr. P's, they got a lot to say. Chattering their thoughts every single day.
Well, once a week.
The punk pop sound, they're rocking the scene. Spreading their podcast love, keeping it mean. They're talking about life and all its ups and downs.
Yeah! Let's get into number one!
They hit jokes in their funky little towns.
It's only
the drums, they make the music loud, singing their hearts out to the raving crowd. Mr. P's, they don't give a damn, breaking all the rules.
Do we?
Into their plan with energetic beats, catchy melodies, bringing
out the what an absolute tune.
What an anthem. There we go.
We should release that.
Can you release an AI-generated song? I don't know. But I'll tell you what it is, it's great for. You want to explain a concept in class?
Yeah, that's great.
You want to explain how the body digests food in the style of a 90s West Coast gangster rap song? It will do it for you. Right, one more story to finish off.
Yeah.
Here we go, right. Okay, here we go. I'm a primary school teacher in year two and teaching a school in a fairly big town. Just a primary school teacher.
Go and put it in the AI.
I love the school and all the staff are amazing. My TA is also super amazing and could not do the job without her. We're here tonight watching the show as a treat to say a huge thank you to her. But anyway, my story.
Okay. You don't seem that thankful, actually.
But anyway, my story. Recently, I'm feeling cursed. Our local library is a small 10-minute walk from the school and we visit regularly. But the last couple of months have been absolute nightmares to walk to library. The first case was walking to the library. It was a lovely day and we spotted a pigeon. The children were very excited. No idea when there's thousands around, but it seemed to be walking side by side with us. They thought this was cute and could come with us to the library. After a few more steps, I noticed something not quite right with this pigeon. It almost seemed drunk and started to wander into the middle of the road. No sooner could I distract the children from the situation when a car came hurtling towards it and splat. Squash pigeon flew under the car and out dead the other side.
That's such a bad nursery rhyme.
It'd be a nightmare, that, wouldn't it? Because you'd probably play a rat along with the kids, like, yeah, it's going to come to the library. And I'll tell you what this pigeon loves. It loves to read.
Yeah, it loves to read.
Anyone got a name for the pigeon? The gasp that came from the class was simultaneous and we quickly hurried the children away. A few started to cry, but luckily we reached the library and I was able to reassure all the children the vets would come and take the bird to make it feel better. As we went into the library, with still several snuffling children, the librarian said, "Have you all had a nice morning?" To which one child replied, "We saw a car squash a pigeon. You could see its brain."
Do you think one of the kids went, "Have you heard? I thought you might have heard."
Oh, everyone's heard.
A bird, bird, bird. A bird is dead. I will a bird, bird, bird.
I quickly added that the bird will be okay as the vets are going to look after it.
Oh, last lie you told.
Brings the whole podcast episode full circle. And tears started to well up in some eyes. The side look from the librarian, I bet he wished he'd never asked. We had to walk back a different way in case the dead bird was still on the ground and they realised I was not telling the truth about the vets. I also had a few messages that evening from parents as the children were traumatised, apparently. But it doesn't end there.
Oh.
The next time we went, the same thing happened again.
A fox joined us on our journey.
No. This time,
no.
With a squirrel.
Oh!
The poor thing was squashed to bits and flung to the pavement right next to the children. So I feel absolutely cursed and these poor animals are suffering.
Bet the children are nuts.
The funny thing is, you could have easily done that joke from the film Up, Pixar. And saw the squirrel run across and be like, "Children, squirrel!"
Yeah. Ah! Oh, God! And so then that one kid is just like, "He's just like the pigeon."
Yeah. So the deputy took them to the library to listen, to learn about the summer reading challenge, and all came back. No animals harmed. So when the deputy took them, nothing happened. The deputy said, "It must be you." And now I dread taking my new class to the library in case something happens.
So then I took him again, and a flamingo joined us on our journey. All right, I think you get away.
It sounds like a kid's book, innit? It's like, what's it? What's the book? Hand of Surprise, where she takes the fruit and then each animal takes them out. Yeah, she's just going around. Like, you best be careful, otherwise, like Peter.
We're going on a library hunt. We're going to kill a big one. Yeah. We're not scared.
But all the domesticated animals in the local area are. Thank you so much for everything. Your podcast helps me to get through these days. Hope you enjoyed the story. And if you want to use it, feel free to put it in any section. Laura.
I just hope that there's some hedgehogs in that local area listening to this and thinking, right, when they're going to the library, I'm staying out of it.
Oh, what was the TV advert?
Oh, yeah, and it was like, da-da-da-da. Isn't that it?
Yeah, yeah.
King of the Road.
King of the Road. That's it, the hedgehogs were.
Imagine the hedgehogs come, teacher, Adrian Lambert.
Oh, good times. May they rest in peace.
Just to finish that, there was a wet play the other day. Just because you mentioned Adam Sandler before, I was thinking, so something Sandler has happened. Kid the other day draws this massive picture of a swan, right? And I'm walking after that play, and he goes, "So what do you think of this?" And I looked, and I went, "Stop looking at me, swan!" Right? And then this kid went, "What?" And I went, "Oh, you need to watch Billy Madison. That's the one, in it."
Yeah.
I was like, "You need to watch Billy Madison." And he was like, "Yeah, seen it." I was like, "No, you haven't. No, you haven't."
Right, so thank you very much for listening, guys. We hope you've enjoyed it. As always, please keep sharing your stories at the website to mrpspodcast.com. At the website, you can stream the show. So if you didn't make it to one of the live shows we did, the show and tell tour, that tour now is completely finished, done and dusted, but you can still stream it online. So get involved with that. Obviously, you can then buy and pre-order your copy of our next book. That's going to be coming out in August. And if you've not got the other two books, you might as well get them as well. Make sure you follow us on the socials. Get involved in the chat on the Facebook group. If you've not left a review on Apple Podcasts, please do that as well, because it really helps. And obviously, keep sharing the pod. We'll keep building. And yeah, hopefully see you next week. Thank you very much.
Cheers.